This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. President Donald Trump's visit to West Virginia yesterday was eclipsed by a quote-unquote major announcement from a state official during his campaign rally in Huntington. Trump was joined on stage last night by Democratic Governor Jim Justice, whose announcement is sending shockwaves through the state's political circles. Ashton Mara reports.
Today, I'll tell you as West Virginians, I can't help you anymore being a Democrat governor. So tomorrow, I will be changing my registration to Republican.
The announcement came around 7:30 yesterday evening, but had been confirmed before Governor Jim Justice or President Donald Trump even took the stage. Justice had reportedly been considering the switch for several weeks, but will make it official with the stop in the Secretary of State's office Friday.
My mom and dad are no question in my mind in heaven right now, and they're both saying the same thing. Jimmy, it's about damn time you came to your senses.
Justice was a lifelong Republican before switching parties to run for governor in 2015. At the time, he said he was running as a Democrat to help working West Virginians, many of whom voted for Trump in that same election. Voters like John Smith. The 66-year-old from Hamlin says Justice is choosing to truly represent working people.
Years ago, the Democrat Party stood for workers, but they've turned their back on workers. The Republicans have invited the worker class in. So I think he made the right choice.
Within West Virginia's political circles, though, reaction was mixed. Republican Senate President Mitch Carmichael says he welcomes the governor to the GOP.
Many of his agenda items have been smaller government, lower taxes, lower regulations. So we're pleased that he's seen fit to join the party that is working towards change, progress, and prosperity in West Virginia.
Carmichael and Justice found common ground during the legislative session on reforming the state's tax code. Both pushed to drastically cut West Virginia's personal income tax to incite economic growth. House Speaker Tim Armstead, who's also a Republican, stood in the way of that change, though, and was hesitant about the announcement Thursday.
The mere fact that he changes registration doesn't make him a Republican. And pursuing Republican policies is what makes a person a Republican.
Armstead has openly criticized the governor's leadership style in the past and says Justice will have to prove, especially to his caucus in the House of Delegates, that his vision for the future aligns with the party's.
I think he has this belief that if he is a registered Democrat, then all the Democrats need to just go and do what he wants them to do. I hope he doesn't believe that that's what's going to happen as a registered Republican, that we're all just going to go lockstep in whatever he says.
From national political groups to local elected officials, Democrats spoke out Thursday evening, quickly criticizing the decision. State Democratic Party Chair Belinda Biafor said in a written statement that Justice lied to the people of West Virginia and took advantage of Democrats by, quote, taking our money and our votes, end quote. Jeff Kessler, however, lays the blame at her feet. Kessler is a former Democratic Senate president who ran against Justice in the 2016 primary for governor.
If I was Belinda Biafor, I would step aside and resign because she threw all in with him, turned her back on other more progressive, lifelong Democrat members to support a recent turncoat. And now he's turncoat on them and run tail, high tail from them. So it's time for, I think, a complete change of our Democratic Party.
The Democratic Party has slowly been losing ground in West Virginia over the past decade. With Justice's announcement, only two Democrats hold statewide office in a place that not so long ago was solidly blue. U.S. Senator Joe Manchin and State Treasurer John Perdue. Standing by Justice's side as he made the announcement in Huntington, President Trump welcomed the flip. The two have been compared in the past, both self-styled conservative businessmen who appeal to the working class. But the parallels between them were only intensified with the party change. Both Republicans hold executive branch offices with legislative majorities and conservative-leaning courts. But both will continue to face challenges from factions within their own party as they work toward accomplishing their policy priorities. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Huntington.
Governor Jim Justice says he wants to grow agriculture jobs in West Virginia and help farmers cultivate specialty crops that might be attractive to out-of-state customers. This week's episode of Inside Appalachia takes a look at several ways the Appalachian job market is changing, including careers in farming. But one of the biggest hurdles for aspiring farmers is that it's expensive to buy or lease land, especially for younger people who don't inherit the land from their parents or their grandparents. The average farmer in the United States is in their late 50s, and much of this country's farmland is being developed or bought out by larger farm companies. Carolyn Leland spoke with two young people in Middle Tennessee who have decided that despite these challenges, they're determined to grow their future by farming.
I forgot that I could do that for a second. I forgot.
Heather Sevchuk is a 29-year-old midwife raising goats, chickens, bees, mushrooms, and vegetables on 18 acres of land about a half-hour drive north of Nashville, Tennessee. Sevchuk and her 30-year-old partner John Ramirez have owned this land since September 2015. That's when they finally closed on the property after 6 months of searching.
You know, I'd been farming for a number of years in the Hudson Valley in New York, and land prices were pretty expensive there.
That's Ramirez. The two of them invited me to their home on Thriving Earth Farm.
There wasn't, you know, too many options close to a city center, so I figured I'd move down to Nashville and kind of see what would happen.
Sevchuk and Ramirez started their hunt with a realtor who they felt didn't fully understand their needs. Through a word-of-mouth recommendation, they next got in touch with a Middle Tennessee realtor known as Bull Run Bob.
My name is Bob McCowan. I've been a realtor in Nashville for 18 years now, and I've lived in this area about 5 miles from where we are now for 11 years. Every time I get the chance to place somebody on a farm in this area, I love to do it because I think the more of that occurs, the less likely you are to have wholesale development in the area. I guess as a realtor, I should be all in favor of development every day because that's what pays my bills. But there's enough land being developed in the city of Nashville.
Sevchuk and Ramirez restricted their search to Davidson County to be close to customers in Nashville and to ease Sevchuk's commute to her full-time job in the city.
The cleared property with fences and roads and ponds and barns and stuff like that are super expensive. So when we were looking, we saw a lot of that, but then we also saw a lot of other opportunities. Steeper land tends to be cheaper, and heavily forested land, which is what our land is, tends to be cheaper.
A lot of land in the area is being sold by farmers' children who want to cash out their inheritance. This was the case for Ramirez and Sevchuk as well.
And what we learned in talking with the realtor who was selling the property was that it was a full working farm at one point. The older gentleman who passed on, he farmed the land and it used to all be clear, except for a very small portion was essentially pasture. So it's gentle sloping enough that it's very appropriate for farming, but it came with the price of having laid fallow for, you know, 25, 30 years.
The most recent federal agriculture census showed that the number of new and beginning farmers in the United States declined by 28% between 2007 and 2012. McCowan says farming in Middle Tennessee has fallen out of favor, that most landowners here just want a secluded country retreat. Many of them hold on to their otherwise unused property, knowing it can probably be sold at a premium for development soon enough.
It's very difficult to find suitable land for farming, number one, in our area because it tends to be very steep and unsuitable for anything other than goats. It's also tough to find land that people will actually turn loose of out here because people, once they move into this area, they love it. But I know very, very few actual farmers in this area.
In that sense, Ramirez and Sevchuk were unusual buyers. They wanted more than a country idol, and they were determined to find the right property.
we didn't put a bid in when this place went up on the market. It actually had multiple offers within the first 24 hours. But it turns out that they had so many offers on the place that they had turned around and said, okay, you have the weekend to come back with your best offer because we're going to give it to the highest bidder. So that means you're going to have to go above what the asking price is.
Sevcik and Ramirez were one of the only bidders, if not the only, wanting to buy both land parcels together.
When we then put in a bid that was actually for the entire property, but was a bit less than they were asking, but we made it clear also that we wanted all of it and that we were planning to farm it. That was ended up being one of the variables that kind of pushed them in our favor.
Small farms are often thought to be more environmentally sustainable, but they're not often financially feasible, especially for young people. Paying off student loans into their 30s or beyond, and managing mortgage payments on top of the other daunting startup costs and regulations of a new farm, young farmers like Ramirez and Sevcik depend heavily on a full-time off-farm income. The need for that off-farm job and the need for customers forced them to search for a farm near a city, which in turn limited them to more expensive land prospects. It's a total catch-22.
That story was produced by Caroline Leland for the Southern Foodways Alliance. You can hear more of this week's Inside Appalachia episode about people who are exploring new careers this Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 6 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Jam Grass Heroes Leftover Salmon return to the mountain stage this week with a song that complements West Virginia's history. Here they are with Blair Mountain, this week's Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
In the West Virginia mountains, back in 1921, National Guard, State Police, and coal company guns shot down 100 miners that the bosses saw as pawns. And up on old Blair Mountain, the ghosts are feeling strong. Well, they marched out of the Tuck Fork, said Hatfield was shot down. At the McDowell County Courthouse, coal cops fired around. 10,000 Union miners got bloody Mingo bound. And up on Blair Mountain, their ghosts are in the ground. Blair Mountain, where bombs came raining down, and machine guns on the ridge line try to turn a Union round. Well, they say that mountain's only worth the coal that's in the ground, but the ghost of all those miners still out walking around. We're talking about Blair Mountain brings the fighting out of me, thinking of those good men and the fat cat companies. They want to tear their mountain down to erase that memory, for a little bit of coal just to sail across the sea. We'll Blair Mountain, where bombs keep raining down, and machine guns on the ridgeline try to turn a Union round. Well, they say that mountain's only worth the coal that's in the ground, but the ghost of all those miners still out walking around. Over what is right and wrong. But it tried to play Bear Mountain down and raise the memory, and it won't be much to fight for if Blair Mountain's gone. Well, Blair Mountain, bombs keep raining down, and machine guns on the ridge line try to turn a Union round. But they say that mountain's only worth the coal that's in the ground, but the ghosts of those dead miners still out walking around.
That was Leftover Salmon performing Blair Mountain. Catch the entire broadcast Friday and Saturday nights at 8 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content.